Let's stand as we go into the scriptures tonight. We're reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 40 through 51. And we'll read responsibly as it is our custom to do as we go into tonight's message. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whose down has defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses unto the host of the Philistines, this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and to all the earth, that thou mayest know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord, which saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. And it came to pass that when the Philistines arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran to the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell down his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no situation, Lord, that you will not give us victory over. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be with our preacher tonight, that you will help him tonight as he brings forth the word of God. And Father, you be with us. Give us hearts that are listening. Give us a mind that is prepared to respond to the conditions of the heart. And help us, Heavenly Father, tonight as the preaching challenges, as the preaching moves us, Lord, to make decisions based on your word that you may be glorified. So be with our preacher tonight. So help him as he brings us the word of God. That you may be glorified in all things, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. You know, it's a very familiar passage, and we are on time, so we're going to just kind of keep right on moving tonight. This is what I think Brother Hiles would normally say. It's kind of a message that you kind of running around town with a little bit. Getting my thoughts together, preparing this was kind of scattered, but we'll just see where she lands. Amen. But the title of my message tonight is The Kind of People God Uses. I'm going to kind of go through our verses again. Of course, this is right in the heat of the battle with David and Goliath, a very familiar story. And I think by way of introduction, it's fair to say that David was the least likely person to fight this kind of battle. He was a teenager. I love the stories of these teenagers in the Bible who did some great things for God. I'm talking about David. I'm talking about a Joseph. I mean, Joseph at 17. I mean, that's where it started for him. I love these stories of teenagers in the Bible. But you see here, he's in the heat of the battle. The big old goon, Goliath, if you will, is out there mocking God and mocking the armies of God. And David went ahead, and he was that man. He couldn't stand it. And he was the type of man of God, young man of God. He was taught well. He had some character. He knew he loved the Lord. And he wasn't going to let somebody go ahead and defy God. He wasn't going to go ahead and let somebody take the Lord's name in vain, if you will. He said, I'm going to go ahead and fight that guy. Yes, yeah, Saul should have gone ahead and fought the guy. He was head and shoulders above the rest, but he was a coward. The army of Israel. His brothers, his older brothers, David the youngest here, his older brothers should have gone ahead and fought the battle. But no, they wouldn't go ahead and do it. They were a bunch of cowards. But here was this young boy, this young teenage lad, this young shepherd boy. You know, he says, I'll go ahead and I'll take care of this situation. He took his staff in his hand. He chose him five stones out of the brook, the Bible says, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou shalt comest with me with staves, like a stick, if you will? You know, here was the world, okay, the giant, if you will. Here was the enemy taunting David, taunting the young man of God, if you will. And David, with all the faith and with all the confidence in the world, I don't know, there had to have been a little bit of fear there. I think I'd have had a little bit of fear. But the Bible says, you know, in 45, you know, he spoke with confidence. He says, I'm going to take this goon down, and I'm going to go ahead and beat this giant, and there is a cause here much bigger than me. That cause is Christ, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm not going to let the world take down the name of my God. I'm not going to let the giant go ahead and defy my God. And David went ahead, he got himself five smooth stones. Of course, Saul went ahead and said, hey, you need to go ahead and have the armor on. No, that doesn't, I'm not worthy of it. That's not going to work for me. So he gets himself five smooth stones, and he has some faith in God. He gets that sling, and he goes out after that Philistine, and that Philistine goes ahead and laughs at him. That Philistine goes ahead and taunts him. Oh, am I a dog? You know, you're going to go ahead and fight me. You're going to beat me, if you will. And the Bible says, you know, I love this. Teenager, you ought to grab a hold of this, for he was but a youth. And let me tell you something, you teenagers, you can do some great things tonight. You keep yourself clean. You keep yourself pure. You can get yourself in the Word of God. Let me tell you something, God has a whole bunch of blessings for you tonight, teenager. And you ought to go ahead and you ought to take this story like a David and see that God went ahead and used him as just a young boy and gave him the strength. And boy, we ought to have the faith of David. Boy, you teenagers, you ought to have the faith of a David. Well, you ought to read that. I know it's a familiar story. We heard it from probably nursery right on up. You know, I know it's a familiar story, but boy, there's a whole lot of truth in this story. As I was reading over that this week, boy, I just got more and more truth. Let me tell you something. Boy, it'd do us all well if we got the faith of a David here. But, you know, he goes ahead with confidence. And the Philistine, verse 44, said to David, come unto me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Hey, you know what? You're a dead man, boy. You know what? You're going to go ahead and die. I'm going to take care of you. And the fowls of the air is going to come down. They're going to pick at your flesh. And they're going to go ahead. The beasts of the field is going to devour you. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But guess what? I got something a whole lot bigger. I got something a whole lot better than that. Hey, you know what? I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Let me tell you something. You know what? You may be going through it tonight. You may be going through the toughest battle of your life. You may not see the end of the road. You may not see the end of the tunnel at the end. But you know what? Hey, you get yourself, you gather yourself some faith in God. You get in the Word of God. And you know what? You can have some big giant in your life, and you can come to that giant in your life, and you say, I'm going to come to you in the name of the Lord. Hey, you know what? You and God are a majority. Amen. You know what? The world, the devil, the flesh, everybody can go ahead and cast a whole bunch of things on you. But let me tell you something. You and God are a majority. I thank God for that. Boy, I thank God for that. But David, he came to the Lord, came to Goliath in the name of the Lord. This day, the Bible says, this day, boy, I love the confidence of David here. Will the Lord deliver thee in mine hand? He says, you know what, buddy? You can go ahead and defy God, you know what? But I've won. You know, I've won. Let me just say this. I love saying this once in a while. You may be going through it all, but you know, guess what? You know what? I've read the back of this book, and we win. Amen? You know, we're on the winning side tonight. Doesn't matter who's in the presidency of the United States. Doesn't matter what decisions the president is making. Doesn't matter what decisions the Congress is making. Doesn't matter who's the governor of Massachusetts or Maine or any other place. Doesn't matter. But guess what? We win tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm on the winning side. Amen. I thank God for that. And he comes with all confidence. This day, man, hey there, Goliath, this day the Lord's going to deliver thee in mine hand. You may think that the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field are going to devour me. Oh, no, let me tell you something. God's going to deliver you in my hand. And I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, I love that testimony. I love that confidence. Let me ask you a question. When you're going through it all, can people tell by your countenance, can people tell by your stand that there is a God that you serve? I'm talking about the God of God, the King of Kings. Can people tell by your demeanor? Can people tell? And I talk about that spring in your step. Even when you may be going through the lowest of low, you may have cancer, you may have a disease, you may have more month than money, you may have a whole lot of things. But let me tell you something. Them are nothing compared to what God can do. God can give you the strength, and God can give you the know-how to go ahead and beat them battles. Hey, you know what? Can people tell by your countenance that you're saved? Can people tell by your countenance that you've got a faith in God, that no matter what rough terrain you may go through, that you are on the winning side? Can people tell? Boy, you know, today it seems like Christians all over the place, we just kind of, oh, well, I don't know if it can be done. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, I don't think, you know, we just kind of have that Molly Grub kind of, You know, the truth of the matter is, man, we ought not be that way. Man, we are winners tonight. We are winners. David was a winner. He was a fighter. I'll smite thee and take thee. And then verse number 47, and all this assembly shall know. You know, the whole world in the way is going to know. All those that are around us, say, Goliath, going to know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you under our hands. Let me just say this. You know what? If you just recognize that whatever battle you're going through tonight is God's, boy, that'll go ahead and when you just, if you would just zoom in on that verse and realize that whatever battle it is that you're going through, it's God. And God already knows how it's going to be won. You may not see the light. You may not understand, God, why did this happen? You may not see when is it going to end. You may not see it, but when you totally every day realize that the battle that you're going through is God's, you know what? That'll give you the encouragement. That'll give you the zeal. That'll give you the strength that you need to go on day by day. When you understand totally. You know, let me tell you something. This guy was big. David was a bit little. Okay, this is a big giant. Okay, and David doesn't speak with, I don't see David speaking with a whole lot of fear, but I kind of wonder if deep down there somewhere that there was a little fear. Kind of wonder. But you know what? He had a faith in God. You know what? He says, I've killed a lion, I killed a bear with my hands, and you know what? I'm going to take that goon down by the grace and by the faith of God. Hey, listen. Verse number 48, 49, and David put his hand in the bag, and now the battle's in array here, and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his head, in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his faith to the earth. He fell upon his faith. Now I gotta say this: you've probably seen the if you watch sports at all, you see a commercial out there, Dustin and Goliath. Is that right? You know, everybody's seen that. You know, and it's already unbiblical anyways, but the truth of the matter, it shows that this big guy, you know, he fell backwards, you know, on TV. Of course, Hollywood has it all wrong anyways, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Here is David. You know what? He went ahead, and it proves that God he had God's help here. God, he took out his stone, and he slanged that sling, and it went into his head. And I think God was just right there, just kind of took his head and just kind of pushed it right into that because it sunk into his forehead. And the Bible says that he went forward. You know, it's natural to fall backwards. But, you know, the Bible says that he faced forward. He fell forward. But anyways, so David prevailed over the Philistine and with his sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Here's this dead Philistine, this dead giant, and took his sword. He went ahead, and the only time he grabbed his sword was right now. He took that sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut his head off therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Boy, they were scared, man. Wow. I mean, I could, you know, I hope there's instant replay in heaven, some of these things. I mean, I want to see that. You know, if you like a little bit of gore, there probably was, okay? A little bit of gore. Now picture it now, okay? All right, just picture it. You know, he goes up there, and now he goes up there in his short little legs, teenage frame, if you will, grabs that sword, goes ahead and cuts his head off, and then, here's my trophy, man! You know, I can just see it, you know, kind of holding it up like the Olympics, you know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is he won. You know, the heat of the battle, of course, this is the story of David and Goliath. It's fair to say that David was really the most unlikely man to do this job. David was no average young man, though, however. Note, he is a teen here, as I've zoomed in a little bit here this morning. Every teenager can be used. He was a godly young man. He was taught character, hard work, and the fear of the Lord. He was a responsible young man. You know, I gave this little outline quickly a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I know, but he was responsible. If you look in 1 Samuel 17, you know, he was taught responsibility at a young age. He was responsible to his mom and dad. Remember, his dad said, hey, I want you to go down into town, take these cheeses. You can look at it later. Verse number 17, take some food in, check on your brothers, if you will, and so forth. And, of course, that's when he hears the battle's in array. You know, he was obedient to his dad. He was responsible to his dad. He was also responsible to his job. David, young David, I'm talking about teenage lad here. A young day, he was responsible to his job. The Bible says that when he left, David rose up early in the morning, verse 20 of 17, and he left the sheep with a keeper. That just tells me right there that, you know, he was a shepherd boy. He made sure the sheep was taken care of. Yeah, he's going to obey dad, but he made sure he found somebody. But by the time that dad asked him, by the time he left, he found somebody. Hey, make sure the sheep's taken care of. You know what? He kept the sheep with it. He was responsible. Boy, and then he was also responsible to his God. Is there not a cause? You know, he realized that, you know what? This big old goon was defying God. He says, you know what? I'm going to fight this goon. Nobody's going to go ahead and take the Lord, my God's name in vain, and I'm going to go ahead and fight. You know, he was a responsible young man. Boy, let me just say this, parents. We need to teach our children responsibility. They ought to have projects around the house. They ought to have things to do around the house. Let me tell you something. If you go ahead and you outline some things that they are to do in your house, you know, I think it would go ahead and cause some less stress in your home. It would. If you'd outline a few duties and a few jobs for your children, you work, mom and dad, you think about it, you work day in and day out and so forth. If you would go ahead and tell them, okay, and teach them how to do the job and do some work, you know what? You wouldn't be so frazzled. You know, that's just a little bit of little food for thought. But, you know, David was a responsible young man. And you know what? By the way, his dad taught him the responsibility. This just didn't have, you know, David just didn't grow up being responsible. I don't believe that. You know what? Somebody taught him responsibility. Hey, parents, we need to teach our kids responsibility. But you know what? David went ahead and he saw a cause that was bigger than him. It was all about God and God's will. He did not choose whether he would go ahead and fight. He just said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and fight. Nobody else is going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and fight. I'm going to go ahead and fight Goliath. He was one who would not and could not and allow God's name to be blasphemed. Oh, how we need Christians like this tonight. How we need Christians to go ahead and take a stand. You know what? I had no problem, especially when I was working in the world. People would go ahead and break room and so forth. Take my God's name in vain, I'd go ahead and say, that's my God you're talking about. You leave him out of your little conversation. You know, he did nothing to you. I had no problem taking a stand. Boy, we need Christians like that again. Boy, it ought to bother you right down deep inside if someone takes your God's name, the holy God of God, the one that gave you breath, the one that gave you salvation. Boy, it ought to go ahead and bother you. It ought to convict you if someone takes your Lord's name in vain. We need Christians to rise up and take a stand like David. David was definitely the kind of man, the title is the kind of people God uses. He was the kind of man that God uses. You know, I already gave you this illustration before, and I know it's very familiar, but I'm talking about being used of God. And I remember in my senior year of high school, of college rather, going down to Dan Ryan just a few months, all I thought about, I was thinking about my future. Where am I going to go? Am I going to go back to me? What's God going to do with me? Within a month or so, I was going to walk across the platform of First Baptist Church. I was going to get my diploma, and then what? I wasn't quite sure what. And I remember my buddy was sitting there. We carpooled back and forth, and I said, all in tears, I said, all I want to do is be used of God. And I had a burning in my soul. I want to be used of God. I want to do something. I want to do something big for God. I want God to use me. And I couldn't believe that He did want to use me. You know, my testimony a little bit. You know, I was a quitter many years before. I was in and out of college. I kind of gave up on this idea of God's will, perfect will, if you will, and so forth. I was a quitter. But I thank God that even when it all the dust settled, I thank God that in 95, when I packed my children and my wife up and all of our stuff on a heated day in July, very, very hot day in July, 1995, I thank God that I went out there and I finished my Bible college training. And 3 years later, I graduated from Hiles Anderson College. And let me tell you something. I knew with all the preaching and the men of God in my life to lead me and guide me. And Brother Hiles there teaching me some things and counseling me a few different things about some ideas. You know, I had a burning in my soul to be used of God. And I want to keep that burning in my soul to be used of God. I want to cry out to God. I long for God to use me. Let me ask you something, teenager. Do you long for God to use you tonight? Hey, mama and daddy, do you long for God to use your teenager, your children tonight? Hey, mama and daddy, do you long for God to use your family for the cause of Christ tonight? Hey, we need some Christian people tonight who longs to be used of God. Do you want to be used? When the giants come and trample God, will you take a stand like David? Or will you be as a Saul in the army and cower and be dismayed? The Bible says earlier, when the giant came out and he cried out and so forth, them days before the battle, you know what? Saul, the king, you know what? He cowered. The army of Israel, they cowered. They were dismayed. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have the faith in God like a young man David did. Oh, how we need that tonight. There are too many people tonight sitting on the sidelines. There's too many Christians tonight that just sit on the sidelines and look at the action. There's, if you will, sitting in the grandstand and watching the race. Hey, what I'm saying tonight, get in the race, Christian, and get going for God and get busy for God. There are too many people dying, going to hell tonight just to stand back and sit back and do nothing. Hey, I want to encourage you. Go after that unsaved mama. Go after that unsaved daddy. Be used of God. Hey, go after that bus route. Go after that youth group. Go after that Sunday school class. Hey, have a longing and a burning desire in your heart to be used. Tonight, do you want to be used, my friend? Do you want to be used? I want to encourage you, get in the battle and stay in the battle. I know it can be tough at times. This was a pretty tough battle. This one here, young man, I mean, let me tell you something. You know, this was way not even fair. Not even close. When you look at a human's perspective, but when you look at a God's perspective, boy, David already won. And David knew it. The truth of the matter is, you know what, whatever it is you may be kind of going through tonight, you know what, you can already win that battle. You know what, but the thing is, where's the faith? Where's your faith? Where's that trusting faith that you had when you realized you're a sinner? You realize there's a price on sin. You realize that Jesus paid that price. Hey, where's that faith that you had with the day you got saved? You know, are you in a position tonight that you feel like that God's not able to go ahead and get you through that battle, that God's not able to get you through that situation, that God's not able to go ahead and supply the needs of your home? Are you in that situation tonight? Hey, where's your faith tonight? Where is that childlike faith that you had? You had enough faith at one time. You realized you were lost and on your way to hell, and you put your whole life in Jesus' hands. Hey, you know what? But somewhere along the way, you got disenchanted. Somewhere along the way, something just wasn't fair. Somewhere along the way, something happened in the church. Somewhere along the way, you got a little bit nonchalant about that. You had an indifferent heart, and you left the church, or you left the will of God, or something like that, and you lost all desire of being used of God. Hey, let me tell you something. You remember the day you got saved? You remember the day that burden was ever just so lifted up? You remember that? And let me tell you something, I remember the day I got saved, and when that burden was lifted, let me tell you something, there was no holding me back. You know, I wanted to go ahead and serve God. I wanted to go ahead and do something big for God. And when I got my heart right, you know, I had a few falls. I had a few stumbles. But I got up, and I brushed myself off. And I thank God, by the way, for the people that were around me that supported me. When I did fall, they didn't go ahead and just say, you can't be used. Boy, that's too much of that in Christianity today. You know what? When people are down, we just keep them down, don't we? You know, we get so hyper-spiritual that, oh, you can't be used. Oh, you know what? They fell. They stumbled. Oh, forget them. And let's go find somebody. No, 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 no. God saved everybody. And let me tell you something. There's not a single soul. There's not a single person here tonight that God cannot use.
I heard a story just the other day of someone still dwelling on their past. Hey, you know, Pastor, I want to go ahead and do some things for God, but I can't simply because of some things that I did in the past. I said, who told you that? You know, there was nothing that would discredit him or disqualify him from doing this particular job. And I said, somebody got your number. And let me tell you who it was the devil. But you know what? It wasn't just that either. It was some hyper-spiritual Christian that told him, you can't be used. Not in that way. And that defeated him. God have mercy on that person. On the one that said, we don't want you. You know, I serve a God that does want him. I serve a God that wants you. Just say this, you know, you may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. You know what? Jesus died for all. You know, let me just say this. I'm just going to say this briefly, but you know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed in the next minute. I pray for, by the grace of God, that I'll have the next minute and tomorrow and many, many other days because I love life. But you know what? The truth of the matter is life is but a vapor. And if you were to die today, my friend, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Do you know it? Do you know? I mean, the Bible says you can know it. I'm just going to park here a minute, but let me tell you something. You know, way too many, we just kind of, we feel like, well, we've done this, we did good, we did this, I took communion, I got baptized somewhere as a kid, I did this. If you're basing your salvation on what you can do and your works, I'm sorry, according to this word right here, you're going to hell. You say, preacher, I don't like that. That's just not right. Don't take it up. Take it up with the Word of God. Take it up with the Word. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, people don't, I just don't think you ought to preach that way. When you get your own church, you preach your way. But for now, as I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church, I'm going to preach the way God wants me to preach. Amen? Amen. It's okay. Everybody all right tonight? Amen. Okay, just smile. Okay? Even if you're not okay, just smile. Just encourage me a little bit. Amen? Okay. Moving right along. Breathing? I got to breathe a second. Whew. Sorry. Okay. All right. Where am I? But you know what? But do you know for sure? You know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You know, let me go through the plan of salvation real quick. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That word know means that you can be grounded in the fact that you're saved. You can know it. You don't have to get up in the morning and say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. No, you can have a no-soul Christianity tonight. You don't have to worry about dying and wondering where you're going to spend eternity, whether it be a place called hell, which is a place of fire and brimstone, which was only created by for the devil and his angels. Hey, you know what? You don't have to worry about that. You can have a home in heaven. You can know for sure tonight that you have a home in heaven, but you've got to place your faith in Jesus Christ. You got to place it, you know, don't place your faith in the church. Don't place your faith in a preacher or the Pope or a baptism or a communion. Hey, you got to place your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what you can do, but it's what he did on the cross, that finished work at Calvary, that'll go ahead and save you. Put your faith in Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty, that Jesus said that, John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father. Where is God the Father in heaven? At the throne? You know, where's God the Father? Hey, the truth of the matter is, you know what? The Bible says, I am the way. Jesus didn't say a way, or a truth, or a life. Had he said that, that would have opened up for many, many, many avenues to get to heaven. You know what? He said, I am the way, singular. I'm the only one that can go ahead and take you to where you are in your sinful state here on earth and take you to my Father in heaven. I'm the only way, and you got to trust what I did on that cross, and you got to ask me to come into your heart and save you. Hey, you know, if you're placing your faith in something other than Jesus, the Bible teaches hell's your eternal destiny. And my friend, you say, well, preacher, that just seems very harsh. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm preaching this way because I love you, and I want to see you in heaven one day with me. One of these days, I'm going to have that mansion, amen? In my Father's house are many mansions. And one of these days when I get to heaven and I attain my mansion, run up and down the streets of gold, and I'm going to have my mansion, I want to be able to invite you over for some iced tea and have a party with me, amen? You say, is that going to happen? I don't know. But I know it's going to be really wonderful when I get to heaven. And you know why I preach like this tonight? Because I want to see you there. I want to see you there. Maybe you'll be parked. Maybe I'll be your neighbor. Amen.
Pastor Weeks is my neighbor.
You know, but maybe I will be. Whatever. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? If you're here tonight, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Boy, you ought to get to know him. The greatest relationship in all the world, far beyond a husband-wife relationship, far beyond a mother and father, a son and father relationship, and a daughter-mother relationship, far beyond a friend, a relationship, far beyond a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, is that relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you got to understand, though, to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you got to understand you're a sinner. Jesus, the Bible says, for all have sinned. That means me. It means all of us here tonight, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Number two, there's a price on sin. And the Bible says that price is hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That word death there in the Bible is not talking about a physical death. It's talking about being separated away from God forever in a place called hell. In Revelation 20:14, the Bible says, and death, that same word as death that you see in Romans 6:23. I'm trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you soul winning, if anything. But in death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. That same word, death, in Romans 6:23, in Revelation 24, you know what I said, I lost it. That same word, death, is parallel. It means the same. It's a place called hell. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. That means, my friend, if I died without Jesus in my soul, then hell would be my eternal destiny. But my friend, I didn't want that. I didn't want that. I wanted to know that I was on my way to heaven. And you know, all I had to do was simply open my heart. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise by God Almighty. Whosoever is anybody. No, not that person. No. Everybody's included in whosoever. And all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this evening, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save me and forgive me of my sin. And let me tell you something. He'll come in. He'll move in. He'll give you that gift of eternal life. And you can have that no-soul Christianity that you're going to walk up and down the streets of gold if you were to breathe your last breath. You go ahead and watch the news on a regular basis. You see people dying all the time. You know, young people, older people, children, dying on a regular basis. The truth of the matter is, most of these people did not get up, if any of these people did not get up in the morning saying, well, I'm going to go ahead and die today. No, some freak thing happened. And God controls the breath. And for whatever reason, their life on this side of heaven was through. And after that last breath, your soul will spend eternity somewhere. Where will you go? Where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? You know, but when you get saved, let me tell you something, getting back on being used, you know what? That's a prime opportunity for you to say, you know, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. God, I want you to use me. I want you to do something great with my life. I want you to use me. And my friend, tonight, do you want to be used? Boy, there's much to do when you think about it. We need more soul winners. When you get right down to the heart of the matter, we need more soul winners out there. You know, I'll just say this. Time is short for this earth. It really is. I'm not going to be spooky and predict when Jesus is coming, but he's due to come back any time now. It could, and maybe it will be 50 years from now. I have no idea, but the truth of the matter is, I believe time is very short. Are you ready? And right now, because the time is so short, I think more than ever that we need to go ahead and buckle up and decide, God, I want you to use me in this area of winning souls for Christ. I want to be used. I want to go ahead and charge hell, so to speak, with a squirt gun by me having the knowledge of the Word of God to tell some poor soul about Jesus Christ. Hey, we need more soul winners. We need more workers in the church to help run a bus, to maybe drive a bus, to drive a bus to youth conference or whatever, many, many different opportunities. We need more prayer warriors. We need more laborers. The Bible says, I'm going to just turn to, of course, it's been our theme for the year, looking right back behind me, but Matthew chapter 9, I'm just going to read it. Here was Jesus talking, of course, but when he saw, verse number 36, and we saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need laborers today. We need someone who will say, you know, I'll roll up my sleeves and I'll go ahead and I'll go to work for the Lord, whatever it may be. It may be in the church house here somewhere. It may be you simply cleaning a building. It may be you maintaining a bus. It may be you getting your bus license to drive a bus. It may be you helping out with a new route that we so desperately want to get started, saying, preacher, I'll go ahead and I'll go visiting on Saturday. I'll even ride a bus on Sunday. And by the way, I know it takes sacrifice. I know it takes work. You know, are we that scared of the work of God? When you look at the end of the day on Sunday, let me tell you something. I look back and I thank God for what God does on a Sunday on a regular basis at Faith Baptist Church. I thank God for that. And let me tell you something. And a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort went into a Sunday here, didn't it? Amen? Starting right about 7:30, 8 o'clock, whenever people start rolling out with the buses and so forth, right on through to a Sunday school class, right on through to the preaching, right on through to the invitation, dealing with people at the invitation. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of work, a lot of work. And by the way, that's not a dirty word. We ought to be busy working for the Lord. We ought to be busy for the cause of Christ. David was not shy. He was not scared to roll up his sleeves. He saw a job that needed to be done. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. He says, you know what? I don't have a whole lot. I'm a young kid. I'm 17 years old, but I got a slingshot. And you know what? I'm not going to let God go ahead and be defied. So, and these guys here, the army won't go ahead and do it. Saul, who's head and shoulders above the rest, won't go ahead and do it. So, you know what? I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. Hey, that goes ahead and tells me a whole lot about his. Listen to me now. And listen to me, teenagers, right up here. That tells me a whole lot. That tells me a whole lot about his godliness and his character. He saw a job that needed to be done for the cause of Christ, and he went ahead, he got himself a slingshot. He said, hey there, goon, you're gonna die today. You know what, giant? I'm going to take you down. And let me tell you something. The giants of this world ain't going to take me down. I'm going to go ahead and stay in the battle. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines because it's too tough. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines because I have a hangnail. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines because I don't feel well. Hey, there's a job that needs to be due. There are souls that are dying each and every day. And we need some laborers. God, I'm not speaking for Faith Baptist Church. I'm speaking for Christ's sake. We need some laborers who just buck up, put on the armor and say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? I'll go ahead and do it. I'll put on that armor and I'm ready for battle. You know what? Let me tell you something. When the battle comes, there'll be some obstacles. There'll be some trials. You may get nicked a little bit. You may get kind of pushed around a little bit. You may get criticized a little bit. This is all part of my outline. I'm not going to get through it all anyway, so I may as well just go ahead and throw it all in the very best I can. But the truth of the matter is, them are the kind of people God uses. Them are the kind of people that God uses. Those that are already dressed for the armor, they've got the whole armor of God on, and they say, hey, preacher, what do you want me to do? I'll step up to the plate, and I'll stay in the battle for the cause of Christ. I'll go ahead and fight the battle, and when I get nicked a little bit, when I get pushed around a little bit, when I have some battles come a little bit, when the illness strikes, when if I lose my job, hey, I'm not going to go ahead and shake my fist at God Almighty. Hey, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to have a faith of a young David. I'll get on my knees before God, prostrate and say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to fight for you anyways. I'm going to fight for you anyways. Hey, listen, we need some folks tonight who will be laborers. The harvest is plenty, yes, and the laborers are few. Who could go ahead and teach a Sunday school class? Who could go ahead and maybe clean the building? Who could work on a bus route? You know, one of the greatest jobs in the world is a bus. You know, I'm not able to do it as much. I'm getting myself a little bit more involved because we are praying and we're just sweating here, just needing some laborers to go ahead and start a new route one way or the other. We have the vehicle for it. We've got to make it happen. I want you to be praying with me about it. But boy, the bus ministry is great. I love the bus ministry. You know, it's amazing when you dedicate yourself to whatever ministry it is. And when you truly consecrate yourself, and when you truly dedicate yourself to some ministry that you know God's put his finger on and said, hey, I want you to go ahead and do this, and you submit to it, and when you day in and day out, and you week in and you week out, and you year in and you year out, you just go ahead and you keep doing that job, boy, it's amazing the results you're going to see. You know what? At the end of this battle, boy, David saw some good results, didn't he? You know what? Nobody ever promised me that the Christian life is going to be easy. I wish it would be. I wish I said it this morning. I wish that everything would always fall in its proper place. Man, if I had a dime for every time that I wish that everything in the ministry would just fall in its proper place, I said it this morning jokingly, maybe kind of half serious, I could buy me a new Mustang. I'm talking, you know, and I'm joking there. You ever figure out, church, I like Mustangs? Ford Mustangs, that is. Not the horse, okay? Anyways, I mean, they're nice too, but anyways. But I get off on a rabbit trail. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me, listen, in the Christian life, things won't always fall in its proper place. You know what? And we have way too many people in the heat of the battle, they're bowing out simply because the battle's too hot. It's just too heated. I just can't take it anymore. I can't teach that Sunday school class anymore. I can't ride that bus anymore. I can't work with them teenagers anymore. I can't do this. I can't. Whatever happened to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whatever happened to Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, in the thing that he who began a work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whatever happened to some of them scriptures that we ought to be memorizing, putting in our hearts, say, you know what? Until the very last breath of my life on earth and here is done, I'm going to stay in the battle. You know, the ones that don't stay in the battle don't see the good results. David could have turned away. He could have. After all, let me just allude to it. And again, I'm so far from my outline, I'm just throwing things in that I know are in there, and I don't even know where I'm at. So we're just going to go ahead and see where it lands. Amen? But just stay with me. But you know what? David, after all, you know, in verse number 28, he could have turned away from the battle. He could have. You know, the Bible says in 28 of chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, and Eliab, his brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Now David said, you know what? I'll go fight this battle. I'll go do this. And Eliab's anger, his older brother now, was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, that thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. You know what? I know I read that kind of in that too, but I think that's how he said it. Well, I know your naughtiness. I know your pride. You just want to come down and see what's going on. You know what? And the truth of the matter is, I think Eliab here, I think he was convicted because David stepped up and said, hey, King, you know what? Nobody else going to fight? I'll go ahead and fight. And I think it was bothering the older brother who should have gone to battle. I think it was bothered him enough that he was taunting David, that he was pushing David away. You ought to go home. You ought to go home. And the truth of the matter is, Eliab should have gone ahead and he should have fought that battle. And I think it bothered him. I personally think it bothered him in his heart that he didn't have the character that his younger brother had. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? David could have turned away, but he didn't. And there's far too many people in the Christian life, they're turning away from the positive blessings of Christ, and they sit there, they scratch their head. How come I don't have the blessings like that? How come I don't see the results like that in a Sunday school class or that? You know, it might be because you haven't showed up and done the job. It might be because you quit the job, or you didn't want to do it, or it's just too hard. It might be because you said, I'm not going to go ahead. That's too much. You know, it might be because some will go ahead and say, I'm just above teaching a class. Oh, who died and left you, boss? You know, so you've arrived. Is that what you're saying? You know, the truth of the matter is, there's nothing greater than working with some young boys and girls on a bus. There's nothing greater than working with a Sunday school class, and it may be children, it may be teenagers, and maybe adults. I don't know what it is, but boy, let me tell you something. The faithful ones, listen to me, the faithful ones who stay in the heat of the battle, who stay in church, who stay reading their Bible, who stay praying, who stay serving, who stay giving, they're the ones that see the great results. They're the ones, you know why? Because they stuck with it long enough to see some great things happen. You know, I know I'm being repetitious, but you know, I stayed in the ministry long enough at Calvary Baptist Church to see teenagers go all the way through the youth group, go off to Bible college, marry well, and get into the ministry. You know what? You know what? That just causes me to say, and this is nothing boasting, but let me just say this, it just says, man, I'm glad that I stuck with it. I don't know if I ever said this. There was one time in my life, I got people from Maine, and it's going to go all over the country. That's okay. All over the Northeast. But there was one time in my life, a very low part in my life at Calvary Baptist Church. I came in at 7:30 in the morning one time. It was a winter day. I remember there was a snowstorm out. I came in at 7:30 in the morning, and I wrote out my resignation. And when preacher came in about 7:45 to 8 o'clock, I was ready to go ahead and give him that resignation. I was going through a very low time. I just felt like, God, things aren't happening. I didn't see the results. I didn't, you know. And sometimes, by the way, you don't see the results right away. I know we live in a I want it now society. I want to see it now. It doesn't always happen that way. The greatest results are the ones who go ahead and pay the price over time and keep fighting. You may get knocked down, but you get back up. And over time, you just keep on laboring. You keep on working. You keep on raising them kids for the Lord. You keep on serving. You keep on going to church. You keep on reading your Bible. You keep on giving. And you know what? Over time, you'll see the results. And you know what? They're the ones that look back, maybe as an aged man or woman, they look back and say, wow, I am so glad that I stuck with it. Simply because you see your own product, your own children in your home, because mama, daddy, you stuck with it. And you see them going off to Bible college, and now your son's a preacher. And a lot of that has to do with you, mom and dad. A lot of that has to do, some of that has to do with the preachers being steady and being faithful. Some of that has to do with the other authority in that individual's life to stay strong and stay courageous and keep fighting the battle. Because unfortunately, where some of the fallout happens is when a mom and dad says, eh. And you know what that does to your children? They see that and say, well, when the preacher says, you know what, the King James isn't anymore, the music, forget it, you know, we're just going to change, or we're just, whatever, we're going to have a little social club. And the truth of the matter is the young people, the next generation, they see it. And we wonder why we're not producing another generation of Jack Hileses, of Tom Malones, of Steve Christners, of Lee Robertson. We wonder why it is that we today are barely producing the men and ladies of God that we had of yesteryear. And a lot of it has to do with the authority in their life being so unstable that you just kind of got a little bit indifferent. You know, somebody leave the church for whatever reason. Quit that Sunday school class for whatever reason. You know what it is. Quit raising your kids for the college for whatever reason. You know, nothing irks me more. I just go ahead and say it and the chips will fall where it may. You know, parents, you get excited about church. You get to a point, parent, that church is just an extra activity if you have time, but you drop your kids off at church and you go home. Let me tell you something. Your kid, for a little while, it's not going to bother them, but when they get to about 15, 16, 17 years old, they're going to scratch their head and they're going to, well, I guess God wasn't all that important to my mom and dad, so why should I even bother? Hey, listen, you're going to be sold out for Christ. It's going to be a price that needs to be paid. Over 150 years ago, I'm going to close with this. Henry Farley said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. A young man by the name of D.L. Moody heard that. He heard those words and was determined, and he determined in his heart, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. By the grace of God, I'll be that man. And guess what? By the grace of God, let me just name a few things. D.O. Moody, by the grace of God, he shook two continents for the cause of Christ. He preached more than to more than 100 million people in his ministry. And thousands came to know Jesus as his Savior. All because of one man said, you know what? I'm willing to go ahead. I'll buckle up tight for the cause of Christ. I'll stay in battle. And I'm going to fully concentrate myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be that man. You know what we need tonight? We need some men. We need some ladies. We need some teenagers. We need some kids that'll buckle up and say, I'm going to hang in there. You know, I read them words over and over again. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who's fully and wholly concentrated to him. And this week on my knees in my office, I said, Lord, by your grace, I'll continue to be that man. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep that armor on tight. I don't care. You know, let people criticize, people ridicule, people do this, people say this, whatever. It just can't be done. You know what? It can be done. Winning souls can still be done. Running the buses can still be done. Much can do. You know, there's a whole lot of things that need to be done around here. You know, a good big day coming church. Boy, I want to plead with you. Just jump in, get involved. Just jump in, find yourself somewhere. Find yourself here. Maybe, church, you know of somebody that you know of right now that would come to church with you next Sunday. You know, they haven't been to church in a long time, or maybe they're not saved, or whatever. Boy, you know what? Next Sunday's a good opportunity. You know what? Roll up your sleeves and get busy. You know, let's get a little bit of grit about us and get some character about us and get some desire and get a longing, God, use me. With tears running down my face, going traveling down the Dan Ryan Expressway, I told my buddy. My buddy asked me, "Sean, what are you going to do when you graduate?" I said, "I don't know." But I said, "I want to be used. I do want to be used. By the grace of God, I'll stand strong. I'm going to keep on keeping on. But what we need is we need more recruits for the battle. There might be some that." You've fallen and you just kind of, you're down. One, two, three, you're down. It might be tonight you need to get back up and brush yourself off and say, I'm going to tighten that armor on. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to follow this example of a young David and have some confidence that when the giants and the trials come, and they will, I'm going to keep on fighting. I may get knocked out every once in a while, but a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. You got to keep on going. David was the kind of man. He was not the likely man to be used for this job. But when you think about it, this is one job that went ahead and marked him positively for the future. God used him in many, many great ways, and a lot of it came from this battle between David and Goliath, and he won. And God still gave him many, many more victories. Let me say this. You want results in your Christian life, Christian, you need to stay with it. You want to see some positive in your children, mom and dad, you got to stay with it. Man, the devil just kind of comes at all different sides, doesn't he? Just every, you know, through television, through music, through this, the boom, boom, boom. And he'll just come at all different sides. And mama and daddy, you got to step up and you got to enforce some things in your home and say, because of the word of God, this just can't be done. And we're going to enforce some things. And you teenagers, and you children, when they go ahead and they have to enforce some things and make some rules in your home, you are obligated to obey. And you listen to your mom and dad because they're a whole lot wiser than you are, and the rules are there to go ahead and guide you and protect you. And if they say, this isn't going to be listened to, this isn't going to be watched, this isn't going to happen in our home, then okay, mom. Okay, dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, we need some recruits tonight. I don't know, I lost my place in this message a long time ago, but we need some recruits tonight. We need people to step up and say, you know, preacher, I think I could sign up for a cleaning. I think I could work a bus route. I think I could show up soul winning. I think I could keep on keeping on. I think I can, you know, I've kind of fallen. I've just kind of been out for the count. I'm just kind of laying on the sideline here. But you know what? Tonight, I'm going to be motivated. I'm going to brush off, and I'm going to keep on going. Will you be that man? Will you be that lady? Teenager? You know, a lot of you teenagers, you're called to the ministry. I know some of you are. You know what? If you don't decide right now, to fully sell out for Christ right now. If God is not your number one priority right now, how is he going to be number one priority in your ministry one day? Man, you ought to go ahead and right now. You know what? I've heard people say, and I've been to Bible college and so forth, oh, I'll start reading and walking with God when I get out in the ministry. Let me tell you something. I heard it often. Brother Pat, you know this. Well, you'd hear the teachers say, you know what? You don't start walking with God now. You know, you ain't going to do it down the road. If you're going to be the kind of preacher or the kind of minister or the kind of youth pastor or the kind of pastor's wife that you're going to be, you know what? Right now, you better get busy walking with God. Some of you preacher boys call to preach. What's your number one priority? Girlfriend, boyfriend, friends? Your will, you know, I want it my way. You know, what is it? Teenagers, what is your number one priority? Moms and dads, what's your number one priority? I'm through. Heavenly Father, sure do love you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. It's just one of them kind of messages. Just the Holy Spirit, we need you. More than ever today, we need your power. We need your stamina. We got to have your grit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fall upon each and every heart here tonight. I pray, God, that you'd give us a desire, a longing, and a burning desire in our hearts for you to use us. I pray, dear God, that we would just not be a casualty and be casual about our Christianity, but that we'll get in the fight, and no matter what comes, we're going to keep on going. I pray, dear God, that we get some holy, consecrated young men, young ladies, moms and dads into service again, serving you, looking at the big picture of life and looking at some positive results because they stuck with it. I pray, Lord, whatever you need to do in this message and the invitation tonight, your will be done. I pray that we won't hold back. Holy Spirit, if you're working right now in our heart, maybe there's someone here, they don't know Jesus as Savior. And the very best I could through your word, we know what the ultimate price is of one who doesn't know Jesus as Savior. If we die without him, the Bible says that hell's our eternal destiny. I pray it be settled. I pray, dear God, that if there's a Christian that needs to get back up into the fight again, they'll get in the fight and be used. I pray maybe a teenager needs to go ahead and maybe reset some things in their life and some priorities in their life. I pray maybe a family maybe needs to pray together or whatever to go ahead and reset some priorities or whatever the case may be. Whatever needs to be done, Holy Spirit, you do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here tonight, say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I won't call you by name, but if God did speak to your heart and you raise your hand, boy, in just a moment when the music plays, you ought to be down at this altar doing business with God. Don't just sit there and just kind of not do business, or I'll do business later. Boy, you ought to do business with God now. You say, preacher, that's me. I know I'm saved, but you know what? God spoke to my heart. That's me. Would you please pray for me? There you go. Anybody else? That's me. Okay, put your hands down. Maybe here tonight, say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die today, I don't know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. And I know that I can't even be close to being used of God until I get that area of my life settled. And if you're like that tonight, if you would go ahead and admit it, and I won't call you by name, but maybe here tonight, say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure. If I took my last breath right now, I'd go to be with Jesus forever. Would you please pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this invitation. Now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.
I stand at our feet, the music's going to play. I surrender all. If you're here tonight, you need to make a decision. You raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you need to go ahead and lay some things out. You need to get back into the battle tonight. You need to decide tonight, I'm going to be used of God. Teenagers, young children, you need to make some choices, some decisions tonight. Whatever it is, the music's going to play. I surrender all. Go ahead. Come on. Come on.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening, for the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you, Father, are in the midst of our challenges, and we can trust you, Lord, to overcome and be victorious. Thank you, Lord, that you've already given us the victory in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, and we ask even now for good weather this weekend, Lord, coming up, and we ask that you be with us and help us in our numbers and in our goals. Lord, what a wonderful thing is going to see, Lord, to see all those things happen, but more importantly, what a wonderful thing to see people saved. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with us now. Help us to have a good night and a good rest. And help us, Lord, as we head out of here, Lord, and bring us once again together Wednesday night, Thursday night, Lord, as we hear the preaching and grow around the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.